Good evening. It's a blessing to be here with you all. This church has had a great impact on my life over the years. For those of you that don't know me, as Pastor O said, my name is Seth Armstrong. My dad is a pastor of a Spanish church across town. As he mentioned, I did attend the academy here and graduated from the academy here. Actually, for a time here, I was sort of part of this church. At the very beginning, our church actually started as a ministry of the church here. And the Lord greatly used this church to help out our church begin and start and provided a place for us to meet. And so some of you I've known for many, many years, and many of you have known me since I was that small and even smaller. And many of you have been a great blessing to me, and this church has been a great blessing to me and has had a great impact on my life over the years. And thank you for being part of that. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll look into the Word of God. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you so much for the power that it has to encourage us, to change us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that takes your Word and applies it to our needs, and then empowers us to apply it to our lives. Thank you for the examples of those that have come before us that are set forth in your Word. Examples which we can follow, which we can learn much from. Thank you so much for the fact that you are in complete control of our lives, and you are our God and our Savior. I pray that as we look into your Word now, that we may be changed by it, that you may break us, that you may show us the places in our life where we need to change, and that you may empower us by your grace to change according to your Word. I pray that you may be with me now. I pray that you may speak through me. It may not be my words, but your words. That you may engrave upon each one of our hearts what you would have us to learn tonight. And we pray all this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Ben couldn't believe what the doctors were telling him. As he lay in his bed, he thought about everything that happened in his life. Just recently, he had given his life to the Lord, and he was serving the Lord faithfully in his church. He had dedicated his life as a missionary, and now all that had changed completely. All because of a decision of one man to drive drunk. And in one night, his car, Ben's car was T-boned, and now for the rest of his life, he was paralyzed. His life, he thought, was completely destroyed, all because of someone else's decision. Bob was thinking the same thing. He had just been married a year. They were expecting, and since he had a good job, he had told his wife that she could leave her job and take care of the soon-to-be child at their house. But just soon after that happened, one of Bob's co-workers who didn't like him very much lied about him. And due to his co-worker's lie, Bob lost his job. And now was without a job and without a way to provide for his family and his soon-to-be newborn son. All because of someone else's decision. And Bob thought the same thing as Ben. This person has destroyed my life because of the very decision. I'm trying to serve the Lord, and this person has messed up my life. Rachel was thinking the same thing. They had a nice house, but her husband decided that a new TV and a new car were more important than the mortgage. And because of that, they were kicked out of their house, and now we're living in a tiny apartment. All because of her husband's decisions. And once again, just like many other times, her husband had wrecked her life because of his decisions. So she thought. Now, all these are just fake stories, not real situations, but I'm sure many of you have gone through similar things. I'm sure many of you have thought at some point in your life, if not right now, someone else's decision has impacted my life in a negative way. And we might even think someone else's decision has wrecked my life, has ruined my life. Yet, there was one person who more than any other person that I know of could have said that, had the right to think that. This person, with at the age of only 17, was sold into slavery by his own brothers, having to leave everything that he knew and go to a land he had never been before in his life. Not because of anything he had done, but simply because his brothers envied him and hated him and sold him to slavery. And there, as a slave, He continued to try to do what's right, but there a wicked woman lied about him. And because of her lie, not because of anything he did, but because of her decision, he was thrown into jail. And finally, after some time in jail, he thought he had some hope to get justice. Because someone he had helped out, a cupbearer, was going to return to the king and had promised to tell the king about him. But once again, his life was affected by someone else's decision. This time, the cupbearer forgets about him. And once again, his life is affected by someone else's decision. I'm sure most of you know who I'm talking about. The story is found in Genesis. His name is Joseph. But let's look at what he says after all these things happened to him. How did he look at all of these circumstances? Genesis 45. Genesis chapter 45. Starting to read in verse 4. This is after Joseph, as many of you know, has the Lord has worked in a miraculous way and has made him second only to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. Now his brothers have returned and he has shown himself to his brothers. And this is what he says about everything that has happened to him. Genesis 45:4, and he says, "And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near to me.' So they came near. And he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For you sent me here to preserve life.'" Is that what it says? No. It says, "For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years a famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And that evil woman sent me before you to preserve her prosperity." Is that what it says? No. "And God sent me before you to preserve her prosperity for you in the earth, posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Here we see that Joseph believed something that each one of us need to believe. Joseph learned that no one can ruin God's plan for your life. No one. And since no one can ruin God's plan for your life, you can serve God faithfully no matter what other people do. Since no one can ruin God's plan for your life, you can serve God faithfully no matter what other people do, no matter what other decisions people make. And as we look quickly through the life of Joseph, I want us to look at 4 different ways in which this belief caused Joseph to respond to different ways and to different decisions that people made that affected him, and how we should respond in the same way that Joseph responded. First of all, we see in the first couple chapters of the story of Joseph that he was able to love others even when they hurt him. So we also can love even when others hurt us. Let's look at Genesis 37. This is the beginning of the story of Joseph. We know that at the beginning of the story, it talks about how Joseph was a son of Jacob, and how Jacob loved him more than his other brothers, so his brothers became jealous of him. And then his brothers became even more jealous when he had some dreams that he shared with them. And then we see in verse 12 that one day his brothers go to tend their flocks in another place, and his father says, "I need you to go on an errand and tell them something for me." So Joseph goes to tell his brothers what his father had told him to do. And verse 18. Start reading verse 18 of Genesis 37. "Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him." First of all, we see that his brothers conspired against him to kill him. Now we've read this story so many times we don't even think about it anymore. But imagine, put yourself in Joseph's sandals, we could say. Your own brothers hate you so much that they literally plan to kill you. Now, by God's grace, he wasn't killed here, but he comes, and we see in verse 22, Reuben says, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his fathers. Verse 23, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on the way to carry them to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his bread? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. I always thought it's really ironic there how it sounds so nice. He's our brother, he's our flesh, we've got to be kind to him. So we're not going to kill him, let's just sell him for the rest of his life into slavery. Nice guy. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Now again, don't let the familiarity of the story keep it from impacting you. Okay? Again, put yourself in his shoes. Put yourself in his sandals. 17 years old. Okay? 17 years old. I think Cody, you're about, what, 16, 17, 18? 17. Okay? So Cody's age. And one day, you're, say, put in our context, we're here. One day, Cody's dad tells him, hey, I need you to go over to Kohl's. Your brother's over at Kohl's. And tell them I need a new pair of pants. So Cody goes over there. He's serving the Lord faithfully here at Heritage. He's trying to do his best to do what's right. He gets there, and his brothers, I don't know, do you even have any brothers? I don't think you have any brothers. Okay, so it's perfect. He doesn't have any brothers, okay? So we're going to say his brothers, so we don't blame the sisters. Okay, so we get there, and his brothers take him and take his most valuable possession, really. This coat that his father had given him that was really, really special to him. Tear it off and throw him into a pit. So you're sitting here in this pit, you're saying, I don't know what's going to happen to me. They lift you up out of the pit, and they say, here is this guy. We just found him by the side of the road, and we want to sell him into slavery. Your own brothers. And you're thinking, I'm never again going to see my family. Never going to see my father. I'm never again going to be able to see the land that I grew up in. I'm going to have to go to a place I've never been before, where people speak a language I've never heard before. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to be a slave. And all of that happens in one day. And all because of the decision of your brothers. I mean, more than anybody else, he would have had the opportunity, the right, we could say, to be bitter against them, to hate them. But what happens at the end of his life when he becomes second only to Pharaoh and he has the opportunity to kill them or at least make their life miserable and to get back at them for everything that they did to him? You don't need to turn there, but Genesis 50. This is after Jacob, their father, dies, and Joseph's brothers are thinking just that. We made these decisions that completely changed his life. We sold him into slavery. Now Jacob, our father, can't protect us anymore. Joseph has all this power. Certainly he's had all this bitterness in his heart toward us all these years because we completely destroyed his life with our decision. He's going to try to kill us. Or at least he's going to make our life miserable in some way. So they send a messenger to him saying, hey, your father said not to hurt us, so please don't hurt us. And they come, they bow down before him and say, look, we're your servants. Verse 19 says, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. How could he do that? After they had tried to completely destroy his life, 17 years old, he had his whole life in front of him. And just because they didn't like him, they sent him off into slavery and completely changed his life. And yet, when he has the opportunity to get back at them, instead of being mean to them or at least just leaving them to die of the famine, he says, look, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. And he speaks kindly to them. He loves them even when they hurt him. How did he do that? Or he knew that, like we read before, it wasn't them that had sent him to Egypt. It was God. Because no one can ruin God's plan for our lives. And because he believed that, he was able to love people even when they made decisions that hurt him. Maybe there are people here tonight that have experienced something like Joseph. Maybe a family member, maybe your friend, maybe your coworker has made a decision that has affected you and that has hurt you deeply. And you have bitterness in your heart towards that person. Because you're thinking, that person messed up my life seriously. How can I forgive him? How can I forgive her? Yet if we get a hold of the truth that Joseph got a hold of, we'll realize that no one can ruin God's plan for our life. And even when it seems like other people have destroyed our life, we will still be able to show them love and forgive them, just like Joseph did. But we have to believe what he believed. Since no one can ruin God's plan for our lives, we can serve God faithfully no matter what other people do. And that means, first of all, we respond in love even when other people's decisions hurt us. But Joseph not only had to respond in love when other people's decisions hurt him, he was also affected when people tried to tempt him. And he was able to resist when others tempted him. Look at chapter 39. He gets to Egypt, he gets to the house of Potiphar. And there in the house of Potiphar is a nice, godly woman who wants to help him out. It says in verse 7, chapter 39, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?'" I don't know about you, but if I was in Joseph's position, I would be really tempted to be like, you know what? I have just had my life completely changed by my brothers. I was trying to serve God, and look what's all have happened to me. I deserve to have a little bit of fun. If she wants to tempt me, if God is going to allow this woman to come into my life and tempt me, then I'll have a little bit of fun. But no, he says, no, I'm not going to do that. Even though he had an excuse, lots of excuses to do it, he did it. But he didn't just resist once. Keep reading. Verse 10. "So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her, to be with her." It was a continuous thing. It happened many times. Yet every time Joseph said no, no, no. And not only that, keep reading verse 11, "But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." Joseph could have said, well, it's this woman's fault. I mean, I have been resisting so much. If she's going to basically force me to sin, that's her fault. It's not my fault. It's her fault. But that's not what he did. Because he knew even the temptation God had brought into his life for a reason. And God had allowed that woman to be there for a reason to strengthen him. And he believed what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, even though he had never read it. And many of you may even have it memorized. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." There was another couple that faced a similar circumstance, but didn't respond in the same way. Our first parents, Adam and Eve. When they sinned, and God came to them and said, why did you sin? They said, what did Adam say? It's her fault. She made me do it. If you wouldn't have given me that woman, I wouldn't have sinned. You put the woman in my life, that's why I messed up. What did the woman say? It's the serpent's fault. If you wouldn't have let that serpent come into my way, I wouldn't have sinned. It's the serpent's fault. And how many times do we say the same thing? We fall and we say, well, it's my parents' fault that I disobeyed them. Because they're so strict. If they weren't so strict, I wouldn't disobey them. Or it's my wife's fault that I don't love her. If she would just keep quiet a little bit more, I would be able to love her more and give me some peace and quiet. Or it's my husband's fault that I don't respect him. If he would just listen to me a little bit more, I would be able to respect him. Or it's my coworker's fault that every once in a while I swear, because they have such dirty mouths and I hear it all day long. That's why every once in a while a swear word comes out. And we always blame other people for what we do. But what are we really saying? We're really saying, you know what? That person is messing up God's will for my life. And God isn't strong enough to give me escape to the situation. But Joseph said, even though he had an excuse, even though he had to do it day after day after day, he said, no one can mess up God's will for my life. And he will give me the strength to face any temptation he brings my way. So he was able to resist the temptation even when others tempted him. And we can do the same. If we believe like he did, no one can ruin God's will for our life. No one can force us to sin. So we can serve him faithfully even when others tempt us, even when others hurt us. But not only that, not only can we love when others hurt us, not only can we resist when others tempt us, but we can even serve when others lie about us. Verse 13 of chapter 39. You guys know the story. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men to her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it goes on. She continues to tell this great story about how horrible Joseph is. Her husband comes back. She tells this great story to her husband. Her husband gets mad and throws Joseph in jail. Why? Because Joseph had tried to help out Potiphar by not sinning with his wife. And because Joseph obeyed God and resisted temptation, his wife, Potiphar's wife, gets mad and makes a decision that ends up throwing Joseph in jail. But how does Joseph respond? Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. He just kept on serving the Lord wherever he was, even in the prison. He was able to serve even when others lied about him. There's a story of a captain and a first mate. And the captain and the first mate didn't get along very well. And one day the first mate came back a little bit drunk. And it was the first time in all the years that they had been together that he had been a first mate, that he had ever became drunk. And on the ship they kept a log of everything that had happened. And when they got back, they would always, the higher authorities would review the log. And if bad things were in the log, they would receive punishments for what they did. And the captain put in the log, first mate drunk today. And the first mate went to the captain and said, sir, you know that this is the first time I've ever been drunk, and I promise I won't do it again, but if you do that, it's going to wreck my career. Please don't put that in there. And the captain's like, what I've written, I've written. So the next day, the first mate, who could also write in the log, went and wrote in the log, captain sober today. And obviously, the captain wasn't too happy about that. But the point is that none of us like it when other people misrepresent us. None of us like it when others lie about us. Yet when others lied about him, he was able to continue serving God faithfully. Why? Because he knew that no one could ruin God's plan for his life, even this evil woman. So we see that we can love when others hurt us, we can resist when others tempt us, we can serve even when others lie about us, and finally, to finish, we can be faithful even when others forget about us. Chapter 40 talks about how the butler and the baker come to the prison, and there they have dreams. Joseph interprets the dreams for them, and look at verse 14. After Joseph interprets the dream of the butler, he says, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. Drop down to verse 23. After the butler gets out, he returns just like Joseph said he would. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now imagine again, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. the chief butler of Pharaoh comes. You help him out, and you say, hey, please remember me. Look, I helped you out. Please, look, I wasn't here justly. You're thinking, finally, I get a chance to escape. Finally, I get a chance to get justice. The butler goes back to Pharaoh, and you're there, you're waiting. You wait a week, hoping somebody will come, a messenger will come saying, Pharaoh wants an audience with you to hear your case. 2 weeks, nothing. A month, nothing. 6 months, nothing. I imagine after a couple months, Joseph figured out, you know what? He's probably not coming. For 2 years, Joseph had to wait. Why? Because someone forgot about it. After he had done so much to help out this prisoner, he forgot about it. There's another story of a farmer who was really, really forgetful. He was an old guy out in the fields, and one day somebody came visiting him, and he had this really nice-looking dog, and the guy asked the farmer, hey, what's the name of your dog? It's a really nice-looking dog. And the farmer's like, what's that flower that's like red and has like the pokey things on it? What's it called? The guy's like, Rose? And he's like, yeah, Rose. And he turns to his wife, he's like, hey, Rose, what's the name of our dog? We laugh at that. It's a funny story, but when people forget about us, we don't usually laugh at that. After we've poured our lives into somebody and tried to help out somebody and done everything we could to be an encouragement to somebody, and they forget about us, it hurts. And we don't like that. Or when somebody promises us something and says, look, since you've done so much for me, I'm going to help you out in this way. And they totally forget about it and never fulfill the promise. It hurts. And we're tempted to despair. We're tempted to blame God. We're tempted to get mad. But Joseph just kept on serving faithfully, even when people forgot about him. And we can be sure, even when people forget about us, God never forgets about us. And even though the butler had forgotten about Joseph, God had not forgotten about him. And we can keep faithful knowing that no one can ruin our lives. No one can ruin God's plan for our life. Therefore, we can serve Him faithfully no matter what others do to us. Now, we all know the end of the story. We all know that eventually the butler did remember Joseph. And God exalted him to the position of second to Pharaoh, and through him provided for all of his family to be free from famine. But if you're like me, you look through the life of Joseph and you think, man, I don't know if I would have liked to have that life. It seems like God was sleeping this whole time. Until the very end of his life, and then finally at the end of his life, God's like, oh yeah, Joseph, I got to help him out. And a lot of times, we think that's what's happening in our life. All these bad things are happening, and then finally at the end, it all works out. But if we read carefully the story of Joseph, we see a lot of coincidences in the life of Joseph. First of all, if you look at chapter 37, we see that by coincidence, his brothers decide to move from Shechem to another place. And by coincidence, this place is right along a trade route. And by coincidence, while the brothers are trying to decide whether or not to kill Joseph or what to do with him, by coincidence, a caravan passes by just at that moment. A caravan headed for Egypt. And by coincidence, when he gets to Egypt, he's sold into the house of Potiphar, who's the head of the captain's guard. Why is that important? Well, when he's lied about, what prison is he thrown into? Look at chapter 39, verse 20. It says, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. Coincidence? I don't think so. So, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. So therefore, when the king threw his prisoners in there, and then the prisoners went back, they knew of Joseph. And then by coincidence, the butler forgot about him for 2 years. Now think with me. What would have happened if the butler had remembered as soon as he got back? There's a good possibility that maybe Joseph would have been freed and would have been maybe sent back to his country. That would have been great, right? But then what would have happened when Pharaoh had his dream? There would have been no Joseph to interpret the dream. And then what would have happened when the famine came? There would have been no food during the famine. A lot of coincidences, right? I don't think so. A lot of providence. God's hand working in little details of life. And that's how it is with us. We look at a lot of little details in our life that don't look very important. Little coincidences in our life that are really the hand of God working in each little situation to work out His perfect plan for us. But you may think, well, yeah, maybe God was working in a big outer way, but what about Joseph who had to go through all that? That would have been a horrible life to live, don't you think? Well, was it really? Look at chapter 39. Had God forgotten? Had God was just working from up above, just trying to direct everything like a chess player? Look at chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he had a miserable life in Egypt. Is that what it says? No. The Lord was with him, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So we see that even as a slave, because Joseph decided, you know what, God has me here for a reason, so I'm going to serve him faithfully even here, the Lord is with him. He didn't leave him. He was right there with him. And even as a slave, he made everything that he did prosper. He blessed it. And even as a slave, he was used greatly of the Lord. And not just that, look at verse 20. It talks about putting him in the king's prison. What about then? Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. I think he's trying to get across something to us. Even in our hardest circumstances, even if we're slaves or in prison, if we're serving the Lord faithfully, he's going to be with us. And he's going to make everything we do, even as a slave or even as in prison, even in the worst circumstances, he's going to make it prosper. If we believe what Joseph did. That no one can ruin God's plan for our life. Therefore, we can serve God faithfully no matter what other people do to us. And God just as what wasn't just with Joseph when he became second to Pharaoh. He was with Joseph every step of the way. And he was blessing him every step of the way. And the same with us. If we get a hold of this truth and really believe it, no matter what other people do to us, no matter how the decisions affect us, if we serve God faithfully, He's going to be with us every single step of the way. And He's going to bless everything we do and make it prosper and use us in great ways, not just in the end of the plan, but all through every step of the plan. Because He is in control. Now the question is, do we believe that? Do we truly believe that no one, not your wife, not your husband, not your boss, not your neighbor, not the president, not the mayor. No one can ruin God's plan for your life. Do we really believe that? Because if we do, we will be able to, just like Joseph, serve God faithfully no matter where He puts us, no matter what happens, no matter what other people decide to do. There's a song written by a man named William Cooper, which I want to close with. Much of what inspired this sermon came from a book called Not by Chance by Lane Talbert. If you guys haven't read that book, I'd encourage you to read it. It's a really big blessing. But the hymn goes like this. Listen really closely to the words. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Ye feel for saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy, and shall break in blessings on your head. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the example of Joseph and all that we can learn from his life. Thank You so much that You are sovereign. You are in complete control of our lives, and You are so great that You can even use the evil actions of people and direct them in a way that will come out to our good, as You did with Joseph. Thank You so much that no one can ruin God's plan for our lives. May we truly believe that, and may that cause us to serve You faithfully no matter what other people do, trusting that You are working Your good plan in our lives. Lord, You know each heart, You know each life, You know each need here tonight. And I pray that Your word may minister to us. I pray that by Your grace we may believe. That by Your grace we may see that smiling face behind the frowning providence. And see that those dark clouds are big with mercy and waiting to pour out blessing on our heads. Lord, may You give us the faith that Joseph had and help us to serve You faithfully no matter what others do. In Christ's name we pray all this. Amen.